You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last election, the Auckland Central seat was famously won by the Green Party's Chloe Swarbrick after being held by the National Party's Nikki Kaye. Recent polling has shown that National candidate Mahesh Muralidhar is only 2 points behind the incumbent Chloe Swarbrick. In the 2 weeks leading up to the election, we will be speaking to the Auckland Central candidates from Labour, National, the ACT Party and the Green Party about issues facing this electorate. I asked the candidates questions regarding housing security and affordability, public transport policy, working relationship with Auckland Council, and climate resilience. This week, we begin with the candidates for Labour and ACT. I spoke to the ACT Party candidate, Felix Poole. I began the interview by asking a question about housing.
Renting's a huge issue for students, and when I talk to a lot of young people, you know, a lot of their income goes to having to pay for the rental costs, you know, every week. And so, you know, really the problem with renting is supply. We just don't have enough houses. We don't have enough houses in Auckland Central. We don't have enough houses on the outer suburbs. And so if we really want to address the crisis of unaffordability and high rents in this country, then we need to build more houses. And there's a couple of ways we can do that. One of the biggest problems or blockages with regards to building houses in this country right now is just that we don't have the infrastructure in terms of the pipes and the wiring and the ground in order to start these big developments. And so that's why ACT proposes sharing GST from new builds with councils in order to allow them to build the infrastructure and incentivize them to build infrastructure. But we also need to change the way that we actually do planning in this country, because the RMA hasn't worked. It's prevented people from building houses, and we do need to upzone. And so that's why ACT proposes a new Urban Development Act in order to fast-track construction in New Zealand.
The party has actually just announced some policy around housing, and in particular targeting policies that Labour put in place for rental rights. So as part of the policy that you guys have announced, it would reverse changes around evictions and give landlords the ability to give a 90-day notice without a cause to the tenants. Are those kind of policies harmful to renters who do make up the vast majority of Auckland Central?
Yeah, well, I mean, the kind of policies that are actually harmful to renters are policies which restrict house construction. The problem in this country is, you know, even if we were to set up the most, you know, the most beneficial regulations around renting, it doesn't really matter if we don't have enough houses in this country. What we need to do is we need to build more housing. And if we build more housing and get a competitive rental market where people want to rent to people and where landlords want to buy property and rent it, then we're going to get a rental market which actually serves people, because then landlords will have to compete with other landlords in order to get tenants. The situation we have now is one where tenants are having to compete with each other to get properties. But there's also another problem, because, you know, at the end of the day, we need landlords in this country to be willing to rent to tenants in order to provide their housing. And if we put all these onerous obligations on landlords that prevent them from evicting unruly tenants, then they're just not going to be willing to rent out their properties. And so in some ways, a lot of the laws that have been passed supposedly to protect renters actually have the opposite effect of making landlords unwilling to rent properties and then decreasing the overall supply.
Yeah, and I guess I've got a question around a few more of these as well, because you guys would look at removing the bright line test as well. Is that correct?
Yep.
That interested me, because I guess the bright line test is in place to disincentivize the quick on sale of property. So wouldn't, if you're looking at more stable housing, wouldn't it be smarter to have a barrier that means that people aren't incentivized just to sell quickly?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the real problem again is that, like, allowing people to buy and sell properties is not a problem if there are enough properties and if the housing market is flexible to demand. At the moment, we have a housing market which is not flexible to demand and doesn't have enough housing. I think that really the bright line test is disconnected with the actual problem that a lot of tenants are facing. And I think that people who invest in housing are often scapegoated when the actual problem is just that we don't have a supply of housing.
Mm, and I think you've got support from all sides of the political spectrum on the supply issue there. And I just want to switch over quickly, because housing...
I think this is quite important, because actually we don't have support from all sides on the supply issue, because Labour hasn't built enough houses. The Greens don't want to build enough houses. They don't want to unlock the private market in order to construct housing. They want to get the public sector to do it, and the public sector just hasn't delivered in terms of housing construction. So actually there isn't that cross-party agreement on supply of housing from the private market.
I think every party acknowledges that there's a housing supply shortage is what I was trying to get at there.
And I agree. I guess that's how you get there, though.
I wanted to move on quickly just to public transport, because alongside housing in a city that's workable and movable, you need proper public transport that allows people freedom of movement. So the population of Auckland is expected to reach 2 million people by 2028. And in 2018, residents of Auckland boarded public transport an average of 54.5 times per capita. So Auckland is in desperate need of a proper public transport network. What are your priorities and next priorities to make Auckland public transport more efficient and effective?
So, I mean, there's several ways that we can do that. But the problem really with public transport is always a funding problem. There's simply not enough money in the system in order to adequately fund public transport. And if the pre-fees are anything to go by, then there isn't a lot of money left. And so, you know, what we need to do is we need to attract private investment, and we need to set up alternate ways of gathering revenue in order to fund not just public transport, but road construction and to some degree public transport. Something that ACT proposes is the introduction of congestion pricing. So, you know, if you're driving a car and you're congesting a road at peak time, which is also used by public transport, then you should pay for that privilege. A fundamental principle that ACT creates this policy by is user pays. And for too long, you know, those driving cars have you know, not paid the real cost of roads and the real cost of congestion. And so that's something that congestion pricing does. So if you want to drive a car at peak times, you've got to pay that. That's going to bring in more revenue to build public transport. And it's also going to free up roads so that buses can, you know, flow down Dominion Road at peak times even more easily.
Would charges on private companies that use the roads, would they be higher than charges on citizens that use the roads?
In terms of congestion pricing?
Yes.
No, congestion pricing is just for someone driving the car. Now, how a private company chooses to deal with that, or how a private citizen chooses to deal with the congestion charge is up to them. You know, for example, if a private company is you know, they've got a work van driving on a congestion road, then maybe the company will pay the congestion charge instead of the driver. The point with congestion charging is it allows every individual to make their own choice. So, you know, if you don't like, you know, you don't want to pay the congestion charge, then, you know, you can take public transport, drive at a different time. But if you really want to get somewhere and you really want to drive a personal vehicle and it's an urgent thing, then, you know, you pay the congestion charge. The point behind it is it's giving people the choice.
Would ACT and be in favour of the privatisation of our public transport network?
No, I don't think that's something that anyone is seriously looking at right now. You know, the point of bringing in private investment is so that we can have private-public partnerships, we can get better investment, better cooperation, more capital in order to build roads and build that transport. I don't think anyone is seriously suggesting privatising AT at the moment.
The Labour brought in half-price fares for those under 25, so I was wondering, is that something that ACT would keep?
No, we wouldn't keep that. You know, people do got to pay to some extent, you know, close to the real cost of the public transport. Public transport is already subsidised even before that subsidy, and so really, you know, I think that it's fair that students and even young people pay a bit more here.
I want to move on quickly because Mayor Wayne Brown released a manifesto out to all political parties, and in his manifesto he outlined what he believed is needed to help the city grow. So as part of this manifesto, the mayor outlined six priorities, and one of the salient priorities was partnership and devolution, creating a fundamentally different relationship between Auckland Council and the government. The mayor also highlighted social, cultural and economic development and a formal partnership to deliver and fund agreed priorities. So I know that's a lot, but I just wanted to ask, do you believe that the central government should be less involved in decision-making for Auckland? And if you are elected to this seat, how will you work in tandem with the council to help this city prosper and grow?
Yeah, so I think that there's like, this is sort of like a really big question, to be honest, about like the relationship between council and central government. And so I won't respond exactly to what, you know, Wayne Brown has said, but I think I'll give like ACT's sort of, you know, how we see central government. Absolutely, you know, control and, you know, independence needs to be given to central government. You know, we need to devolve responsibility to central government and really give them the freedom to act and to do what their constituents want them to do. But I think the problem with central government in this country is they've been handed all these things to do, such as creating infrastructure, arts and culture, etc. But they haven't been given a lot of money and a lot of sources of revenue to do it apart from rates. PAC says that, we need to share GST, we need to share revenue with council so that they can actually complete things that, they've been tasked to do. And if we can do that, then we can give councils more money to do what they need to do and actually allow them to complete their objectives. In terms of partnerships with central government, central government's always going to partnership with local councils on different things they need to do. And a role of an effective electorate MP is to actually, help manage those partnerships and get them working. Just to be clear, though, I'm not running to be the electorate MP for Auckland Central. I'm just asking people to party vote at this election.
I want to touch on the climate for a little bit. So the January floods left a lot of Aucklanders afraid of the devastating effects of natural disasters, and in particular, what might arise from the effects of climate change. So I wanted to ask, how can we make sure that our cities, our major centres like Auckland, are climate resilient and something like the January floods doesn't have to happen again?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a huge issue, climate adaption and actually making sure that our cities are ready for climate change in terms of flooding, in terms of heat, in terms of all that stuff is really important. There's a couple of things we need to do. We need, better energy independence from the rest of the world. We need to make sure that we actually have the infrastructure, in order to cope with climate change. And again, one really big issue here is councils, because, as with many things, councils are given all these tasks to do. And one of them is building infrastructure. And this infrastructure is going to need to be climate ready. And so to that extent, again, sharing GST with councils will better fund them to build that infrastructure. But also we do need to actually look ahead. We need a plan to deal with climate change. We need to make it easy for people to build houses in this country and to build infrastructure in order to adapt to climate change. We need to actually build roads that are climate change resilient, that aren't falling apart. Really, climate change resilience sort of encompasses all areas of government, because, we've got to be more resilient as a country to a lot of the problems that we're going to see in the coming decades. And part of that is actually looking at government spending and saying, well, what's wasteful? What can we cut? Because, some of the government spending isn't actually appropriate. And if we can have a government which is lean, if we can share money with councils, if can we make sure that we have our spending priorities right, then we can actually invest in making New Zealand a country which is going to be resilient to some of the problems that we're going to see with climate change.
I just quickly wanted to move on to the last question, because you've kind of mentioned it already that you're not really running for the electorate seat, you're running more on a party vote mandate, and you're 25th on the list for the ACT Party. So I wanted to just know from your vision, as someone who isn't running for the seat, but someone who does reside in Auckland and lived here all of your life, what do you want to see in 3 years' time? What's your perfect vision for the Auckland city that you've grown up in?
I think Auckland is an amazing city. I love it to bits. I've lived here all my life, and I probably want to, stay here, maybe even retire here. I'll have to see though. But I think that Auckland can be so much more, and I think that the city is really at a crossroads now, and we're facing a lot of problems in terms of our infrastructure deficit, in terms of our housing, in terms of crime. In terms, if you go down Queen Street, you go to these shops closed. And so I think that what we need is we need an ambitious plan to get Auckland back on track, to make sure that it's a prosperous, vibrant city that it can be. And part of that is making sure that we have a government that is behind business, that is behind people to allow them to create businesses, to build homes, to actually take risks and be creative. And if we can do that, then we can make Auckland the prosperous city it's meant to be.
That was the ACT Party's Felix Poole and Labour's Oscar Sims discussing housing security and affordability, public transport policy, working relationship with Auckland Council and climate resilience. Make sure you tune in next week at the same time. We will be speaking to other candidates in the Auckland Central electorate. We'll be back after a quick break. Make sure you keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.